Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve. No religion.
No religion. I can't even remember how the song goes just at the moment because I've had 500 mils of my special drink that I'm having this week. Which is actually, it's probably similar to the one I had last week because I'm quite enjoying it at the moment. You take a 1 litre stein and you put about a quarter of that full of ice and then you put 2 Spates Old Darks and top it up with sugar-free LMP and then you just go for it and it's delicious on a summer's evening.
It's an interesting combination in theory.
It's a wonderful combination, better than what you've been doing.
I'm drinking water.
That's not what I'm talking about and you know it. If you can't do it, drunk! That's right. If this was a call response show and I was in front of a crowd, they would have all said, why does that guy keep talking? I'm just here for dinner. I'm pretty sure that's how it would have gone. Did I just paint a picture in your mind? Did I just switch things around on you?
Not at all.
Have we ever done a live show together? I think we've never done a live show together.
What do you mean?
I mean, I've done 3 with Ben.
You mean like in front of people?
Yeah, yeah, in front of an audience.
I haven't done one of those. Mm. Oh, well, unless you count the election show, but I was mostly not in front of the camera for that.
Yeah. I wasn't counting that, but I guess we could. It wasn't really. No, it doesn't count.
Because you can come to Las Vegas with me, and we'll do one from Vegas.
Oh yeah, we'll just move Penn and Teller out of their normal slot and take that over.
Yeah, I think we'll probably do that.
I'm sure that's easy enough.
Well, they don't do Thursday. Oh, no, I'm leaving on Thursday afternoon, so that's not going to work. I was going to say they don't do Thursday nights, but I'll be gone by then anyway.
Maybe we can do an early AM show.
Probably. And I'm sure the Rio ballroom is available before they start.
Of course, by show, what I really mean is we put wireless mics on and just kind of stand quietly in a corner, mumbling to each other.
No, you know, we're going to do a live show because the 100th. Oh, will it be live? Will there be some people? We have to figure out exactly. I still have to figure out exactly what weekend it needs to be, and then we'll have a barbecue and it'll be the live discourse.
But doesn't that have to happen in like 2 weeks?
Well, that was what I was thinking. I initially thought it was this coming weekend, but it's not. So it must be. It's not the one after that. I think it's the one after that. Oh, we have to do some maths.
Mm.
We can just, mind you, we don't have to do real maths, we can just pretend.
We can also do a fake live show. We could just go to the beach with the Zoom and convince people around us to say words.
Yeah, well.
Who just happen to be there or in a park or somewhere. Walk up to people who are innocently having picnics with their children and dog and intrude rudely.
Those things could possibly happen.
Yeah. I would rather we just almost let it go by without comment and just sort of notice right as the final 5, 4, then go, hey, wait a minute, this is the 100th show. Oh, show's over, see you next
week. The problem is we've commented already.
That doesn't really matter. I mean, I drink so much I forget.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Mm. Also, I think I'm pretty sure that I'm developing some kind of dementia.
Okay.
I don't have any sort of family history of it. But, I could just be the first.
Yeah.
I just feel like my memory, it's not reasonable for my memory to be quite so bad. I mean, I literally can't remember anyone's name, not even my own.
Well, you did very well at the beginning of the show, but then again, it is written down on the documents.
It's written down in front of me. That's why it's always the same.
And you can remember what you put in your drink. So, you know, some parts of your memory are working well.
It's written on the side of the cup.
Good.
I can't remember actors' names and actresses and comedians and TV
No one can do that. No, everyone's watching something. Oh, that's the guy from... Oh, what's his... Ah, he's in that other thing with that woman. Ah. Oh.
But, I mean, I used to know who the actress was that does Bart Simpson's voice, and I used to know who the actress is that does Lisa Simpson. I used to know those names, and now I don't know those names.
Nancy Cartwright and...
So I think someone called, like, Dan Castellaneta is Homer.
Yeah, and a few other characters.
But, see, you named Nancy Cartwright, and now you say it, I'm like, yes, that sounds right. That sounds right to me.
And
Julie Kavner, no, I think Julie Kavner is Marge.
That's like Yvonne or a vet or...
She was on another show and she's a funny looking...
Yeah, she was in Herman's Head.
She's a funny looking...
She's a short... She looks a bit like Lisa, woman. Actually, without the spiky hair, but you can sort of see it.
See, but so I feel like we've provided some evidence for my claim because you did name someone.
Yeah, but then I can't name other people.
What's the name of the actor that does Austin Powers?
Mike Myers.
See, I can remember that.
He's also the killer from the Halloween trilogy.
Spoilers!
The Mini More trilogy.
Spoilers!
I don't know, I've never seen the movie. So, what happened this week?
What's your auntie been talking about?
That's premature.
And now the news.
Heaps of things happened this week. I've already spoken about all of them with the chat. Yardley Smith! Chat room always
Yardley.
Comes through.
I knew it had a Y in it, and I was like, that's not a real name.
Thank you, Kevin, in the chat room.
How did he figure that out?
He's an MD.
Oh, yeah, good point. Doctors know stuff.
Actually, the first thing that we should do is the story that has some relevance, I reckon, because New Zealand's just been through a similar thing. So this is from /. Shorter.uk domain name put on ice. So they were going to get rid of their co-UKs and their org.UKs and just go straight to .UK. But apparently there was a strong demand for that. But no one could agree on exactly how the process should work of changing from the current system to that new system.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing. And also, like...
Just because something's tricky doesn't mean it's not a good idea to do it. I think our system is stupid.
I don't.
Well, you could be wrong.
I am not.
Well,
but
you could
are.
Be. Well, see, I'm prepared to acknowledge that there are some difficulties with it.
Well, it's not even difficult. It's not the difficulties. I mean, there's the obvious collisions, you know, between...
I think that whoever got there first has the first choice.
Well, there's that. But then the other thing is I like the second-level domains because, at least in some contexts, they provide a...
they provide context for what the thing
is. For GOVT, for AC, for school, they provide a context.
Well, I think that GOVT wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I think that
I don't
would
know.
Be held on
I like
to.
It.
But it would just be considered, you know, that would be the second level that it started. And it already is. You can go to www.govt.nz.
Yes, you can.
You know, it's already a thing. And that's just the way it should be for everything under .nz. You know, and
yeah, no.
Why not?
I'm right and you're wrong.
But that's not an argument.
Oh, you know who we should get? Not tonight, but another time we should get the CEO of Internet NZ to come on and tell us what he thinks.
Should we?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Jordan Carter.
Is he the CEO of Internet NZ now?
He is.
Fuck, good for him. I hope he...
he's the interim CEO.
I hope that is only while he waits for a better bloody spot on the Labour list. Although I haven't figured out exactly where he stands on my enemies list because there's a whole lot of people in Labour who I think are actually enemies of people who are historical Labour voters and actually enemies of the party in a respect. They're just sort of desperate to build and maintain their own influence. And it looks like it could be at the cost of losing another election. And I think it's pretty important to figure out who all these people are who are propping up David Shearer's appalling mismanagement of the party, to figure out who they are and then, you know, hopefully even a badly mismanaged party will be able to win an election. But, you know, I actually don't have high hopes for that. And so when the ship goes down and when Shearer has, you know, when his head rolls, I think all those other motherfuckers involved, their heads have got to roll as well because they are the problem with the party right now. They are why it's been performing so badly against an awful, incompetent National Party who are doing such a bad job across so many areas.
But frankly, I'm comfortable with it.
You're comfortable with what happening?
All of it. Everything. I'm comfortable.
Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
All right, well, let's get to another story, which I'm sure you're comfortable with. Even though we haven't really finished that, the story about the domain name thing, I mean, obviously, we can't have a proper conversation about that because you're being unreasonable. Once again, it's never me that's unreasonable. It's always you. I've noticed this. I'm pretty sure.
I understand. It is always you that is uncomfortable. Sorry, that is unreasonable. I'm comfortable.
Department of Conservation. Now, did you see the photos of this chap? There were a bunch of a small pod of orca swimming in Wellington Harbour, and a snorkeler went up to them, even though one of them had a new calf.
And he got eaten.
Well, no, he didn't, but I'm amazed that he didn't, because it seems like they're very dangerous animals.
Yeah, they're not dolphins.
They certainly are not dolphins. And, I mean, if you've watched any of the, you know, the David Attenborough sort of things with orca feeding on seals, like down in Antarctica, they will slam their bodies up onto shore, tear some furry little mammals apart, and then disappear back into the water. So, I mean, I would be a bit afraid of even being next to the water, let alone getting into the water with these things. Anyway, the Department of Conservation say that there are regulations about how close you're allowed to get to orca with calves, and they're considering laying charges against this guy who he's a marine biology student. His name's Sam Wild, and he says orcas are his favourite animals, and that's cool. I mean, a marine biology student, he obviously loves sea life, and so I believe that it might even not just be a story he made up after the fact that it's his favourite, because, I mean, you've got to like something about the sea to decide to dedicate your tertiary education to studying it. He said it was scary, and it was exciting, and it was everything at once, and it was incredible. And I absolutely believe him. That seems very exciting. And he says that he knows that there have been no recorded attacks in the wild of orca on people. And, you know, maybe that's true.
I'm assuming that if there are some doc regulations on how close you're allowed to get to them, it's not for the safety of the people.
That's probably true.
To not disturb the animals.
Yeah.
Anyway, good. Swimming, whales. I like whales.
It was terrifying watching him, though, because I just thought they were going to smash him. I mean, I think we've all seen the footage of captive orca playing with one of their trainers, just bouncing her between their, you know, in the air and smashing her in the water and just absolutely smashing her body. It seems to be. You know,
no, I don't think I've seen that.
You haven't seen that?
We keep it that way.
I think it's no problem for a whale to kill a person.
Yeah.
They're entirely capable of it.
Yeah, well, they're huge. That's a good start.
Things that are not huge. Do you think maybe that's why Japan have got their ongoing campaign to kill them all the whales?
Oh, they don't like big things.
Maybe they just don't like big things. I mean, there might be something in
there. Might be because whales are delicious.
The things that are small, and I don't know if they're delicious or not, and I'm probably not prepared to try them out to find out. Iran deploys snipers to combat cat-sized mutant rats.
I saw the headline for this and I didn't bother reading the story. Is this an actual thing?
I don't know if it's true or not.
Or is this Iran just threatening us with their mutant rats? motherfuckers, we've got mutant rats.
Well, based on the photos, people are guessing that they're not even mutant, that they're actually just introduced, I think, Gambian rats, which are just large, that is big. And they're a real big problem. Apparently in like Florida, they've been introduced there, and it's almost impossible to do anything about it once they've got a foothold.
In every respect.
Yes, it is.
Giant rats, giant snakes, giant alligators.
Yeah.
Or is it crocodiles? Alligators.
And Uncle Dirty.
And Florida people and sinkholes and a serial killer who works for the police. That might not be a real thing, I don't know.
May or may not be.
May or may not be.
So they've been using poisons against these rats, and they also have a team of well, they call them snipers, but I don't know, they're wardens or something that wander around shooting them at night. So far, they've killed 2,000 of them.
See, all right, people working together, wonderful.
Yeah, no problem.
Happy story.
People working together. I shouldn't have said bad things about Japan before doing this story, and actually, this is right in line with your interests. Oh, we haven't really done what's going on, what's happening this week, anything big?
Well, I said there was... I did say what's happening this week, and you said I've talked about it all and then just carried on with other shit. So, we tried.
Oh, all right, well, let's get back to that. Okay, so a couple of things have happened this week. Number one was the census, and that was last night, because normally we record this show on a Tuesday night, so it would have been tonight, and we could have talked about it while doing it. But instead we're doing it on Wednesday night just because we had to.
Because for some reason. Forgot that it was Tuesday. I don't know.
It's almost certainly my fault, because it usually is.
Almost certainly. It's very rarely mine.
Now, I found that the census was very quick and easy to complete. It was really fun doing it online.
Yep, it worked really well. Much, much better than another government website that's launched this week.
Don't get ahead of yourself. That's the next story.
I'm getting there, but it was an interesting contrast because I looked at the other government website that we haven't mentioned yet on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the census on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And they're both government websites and they're both new, and one of them worked and the other one was a complete piece of shit.
Yeah. So the figure that the government have released is that there are 1.7 million census forms completed online this year, which is pretty good considering it's the first time that we've done it.
Is that are they just counting the individuals' forms, or is that 1.7 million forms altogether? So it'll be something like 1.2 million actual people and 500,000 dwelling forms.
This is individual people. So okay. 4.6 million individual, including visitor forms, and 1.8 million dwelling forms were delivered, and 26.5% of them were filled in online. So 1.7 million individual forms.
See, I was about to fill in the one on paper for no particular reason, just that I couldn't be bothered turning my laptop on. And I was like, wait, if I fill this out on paper, some poor bastard somewhere is going to have to actually do data entry. And they have to read my handwriting to do it.
Hamish and Kevin... Excuse me, I don't know what's going on. I didn't even just have a drink and inhaler. Hamish and Kevin in the chat room both say that they did it online last time. And I don't have any memory, actually, of how I did it last time.
I didn't do it online last time, but I think I remember that it was an option.
It was an option, but it was a bigger pain in the ass to get the numbers
probably,
or something. And that's why I did it in paper. I don't know. I don't actually remember where I was or when that happened. They say 2006. That sounds about right. The Christchurch one that was put off, that was stupid. I don't see how they can really justify having put that off. I think they could have got some really interesting and useful information.
Well, they did still do this. The statistics people did still use some of the census staff they had to make some interesting studies after the Christchurch thing. But the main reason was that it was people were displaced. And
but so what? You should know that. That should... I mean, why not have that reflected in the
figures? So they studied that aspect of it specifically.
I think that what they should have done, instead of cancelling the thing and pulping all of the census forms that had already been created, they should have created an additional sheet specifically for identifying those people who had been displaced. And just, you know, ask those few additional relevant questions about those people. You know, and so then we'd be able to establish the impact. And, you know, if it was necessary, you could identify those people. And, you know, if you decided that the information was too sketchy later on, you could just say, well, you know, we can't rely on Canterbury figures during this period because of that. But as it is, I mean, there's no way of evaluating what the figures would have been like because they didn't do the fucking census. It's really stupid. Anyway, I think. Considering that the forms had already been printed, everyone had been hired.
You know what I'm
going
to say, though?
Yeah,
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that Statistics New Zealand has a better idea of when is a good time to do a census than we do.
I don't know. I think they panicked.
I don't know. I think they probably did panic, but I think they knew what they were doing.
And apparently they knew what they were doing this time with running the website because it worked all right. Other people said that they lost sessions and that, you know, just didn't work out very well for them, but... you know,
to be honest, I had fewer troubles with the census website than I have with most of my daily browsing.
Right. Is your daily browsing difficult?
Now, you know what I found was annoying, though?
What's that?
Not for me, but I know quite a few people completed the online census early, like ahead of time. They filled it out.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, it just, you know, as soon as you filled it out, it's closed off. I think you should have had to go back on census night and confirm the details.
Right.
Especially, you know, where you were.
What if you decided you were now a born-again Christian just that morning?
Well, that could happen.
I'm absolutely
have to,
certain.
A point at which someone converts.
There is no doubt in my mind that at least one person in New Zealand decided on Tuesday that they were now a Christian.
Yep, someone finally made the right argument to them.
I'm absolutely certain.
About the fire and the brimstone and the burning. And the.
And I
so
bet
what was the other website that we were talking about?
The other website we were talking about was the Mighty River Power Share Offer website where you could pre-register.
I'm so glad. So many awesome things about that website. When I tried to first visit it, I went to mightyrivershares.co.nz, just as I usually would.
Well, that sounds like it would be just fine, mightyrivershares.govt.nz. That seems like it should be all right.
The first thing I was greeted with was a giant SSL warning telling me the certificate was invalid.
Yeah.
Because the certificate was for star.mightyrivershares.govt.nz. But I was just visiting mightyrivershares.govt.nz. So I ignored that.
yeah.
and carried on to a page that said nothing.
Yeah.
Because once again, some people who apparently build things for the internet
aren't competent.
That doesn't need www.
Frankly,
in front.
If you don't get that right, you're not competent, and you shouldn't be doing the job.
No, you should immediately revoke.
Because
you should give back
so,
all the money you earned.
It is so easy. That's the easy part.
And it's still, when I checked today, it still wasn't working. Right. At least the error message was better.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't working without the www.
Yeah. Yeah, at Boolean Value in the chat room says that supposedly it was geo-blocked, but that they came in via a US proxy and it worked for them doing that. I've heard that offered as a defence as well, that it was geo-blocked, and it just doesn't ring true to me. Because it didn't behave how it would behave if it was geo-blocked.
It was geo-blocked, but then
and
it asked
if it
you
was geo-blocked,
the pinky swear that you were in New Zealand.
And if it was geo-blocked, then they fucked that up too. I mean, not just in blocking too many people, but if something's geo-blocked, it should say, this page is not available to you because you are not within New Zealand. It's really simple. It's what YouTube does, and it's very frustrating to us, and it's what Netflix and so on do, and it's very frustrating to us. And that's why we have discourse.co.nz/VPN.
Yeah, I can't. Unfortunately, I was just about to fire up a VPN and see if it was blocked, and I thought, no, I probably shouldn't do that while I'm using Skype.
It would probably
Skype.
Ruin the Skype connection. Yeah.
But, yeah, so the first thing you get is, it's like those websites, you know, where you go to the alcohol websites, like, are you over 18? Yes, I am.
Do I ever know?
The country of primary residency.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to be in New Zealand to visit the site. So where's New Zealand in the drop-down list?
It's under N. It's in a list of 200 fucking countries, and you've got to scroll. Well, I mean, I guess you could possibly type in, but I didn't try it. I just
scrolled. You can type in if you're a person who knows to type in, but 90% of people who use the internet don't seem to realise that you can do that.
I didn't type in because, I mean, now obviously I know that you can do that. But for the purposes of my test of the website, I decided to scroll and see what it was. Because I expected there to be, like, at the top, New Zealand, Australia. You know, just, like, three or five countries broken out at the top. And maybe that would provide different information depending on what you selected. So if you selected Australia, then it would say that at the moment we're not accepting pre-orders, but it's going to be listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, and we'll let you know, when that's possible.
So I'm curious about this as well.
Yeah.
Right, so you have to say you're in New Zealand, and you have to say what city you're in. I presume, I don't know what happens if I type, like, some random thing that doesn't exist.
Yep.
But after that, you have to agree to some terms. And the terms are, so first of all, you have to be in New Zealand, but you also have to say that you are not in the United States. You're not acting for anyone in the United States. Not any other country.
Yeah.
Just the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Like, what? Why do we hate America so much? I thought we loved America.
I don't understand it at all. I was informed by a lawyer on the Twitter machine. I can't remember what it was that I can't remember exactly when that was. When was that? It was something to do with disclosure laws in the States. They actually need to be explicit or something. I don't know. Apparently there's a reason. It's just stupid lawyer bullshit, but it's actually legit that there's a reason for it. A bad reason, but a real reason. You know what I mean?
I'm just testing something on the website. Oh! Did I not say I was in New Zealand? I said I was in New Zealand. Oh, it must actually check against a list of cities and towns.
Mm. Did you make up a town?
I put fuck ass in city and it didn't let me go in.
Naughty.
Yeah. I tried Tokopuru, which is a very small town near Dargaville. It let me in with that. So there you go. Anyway.
Dargahole.
And, apparently I can buy shares.
But you could anyway. It's just this way you get a slightly higher guaranteed minimum. You get 25% higher
if,
minimum.
If it's over 2,000 available shares, then you get 25% more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I filled out the thing. I'm interested to see what happens.
I'm in two minds about the whole thing. I mean, I feel like it is strategically vital. They are strategically vital assets that will become more and more important as coal and oil get more and more expensive. Because it's friggin' hydro generation. You know, the price of that doesn't change with the price of coal, you know. So it's
power that's generated by a mighty river.
Exactly. So it's you know, it's well named actually.
Mm, very convenient.
And it's also strategically, it's a really important asset, and I think it should be in the hands of New Zealanders. And if it's not,
actually, solid energy is quite well named as well.
I mean, I suppose
like solid black lumps of stuff energy would be a better name, but
gross,
not bad.
Yeah. Archaeo energy.
No, too confusing, difficult word. Anyway, so that's a shitty website.
Dirty energy. Yeah, shitty website. And, you know, I don't know. I think I'm probably going to buy either the minimum or a pretty small amount, because I think that however much I buy, it's going to be more than I currently own. And my purpose in buying some is just that everything that we buy and hold on to, it can't be sold off overseas.
I don't think I'll buy any shares. I might by the time it's available have $1,000 to spend on something random, but I don't own any shares currently, and I don't particularly plan on owning just one. If I'm going to own shares, I'm going to own shares. I'm not just going to buy one thing and be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not actually that interested in owning shares.
Yeah. And your kids need shoes.
Yeah, kids need shoes, and I need, you know, nifty gadgets.
Yeah.
And travel.
Yeah. I can push a button. Hey.
Next story.
Hey. Just like a professional one. Beer swigging loophole unlikely to close. So apparently it's legal to drive a car while drinking beer.
So long as you do not exceed the breath alcohol limit.
Yes, and I already knew this because my girlfriend's father does this regularly. And I said, what the hell are you doing? You're out of your mind. That's so illegal. How have you still got your license? And he said, nah, I don't think it's legal. And we looked it up, and there's clearly nothing about it. So I've known about this for, I don't know, you know, a couple of years, I guess. As long as people really do know their limit, I don't really see the problem. If you're not drunk, what's the problem? And if you are drunk, it doesn't matter that you're drinking now, or if you drank before, you're still drunk, and that's the problem. You know, the issue is not...
You know, if you're in the car having one beer,
yeah,
you're not, you know, you probably, if you've stopped drinking, you're probably worse, to be honest. I don't know, it depends on how long you've been doing it, I suppose. But if you weren't drunk when you got in the car and you're drinking a beer now, you probably aren't drunk.
Yeah. It's not that he drinks and then gets in the car and keeps drinking. He gets in the car and has the one beer that he's going to have.
Nice cold
while,
drink.
While he's have driving, while he's driving the 2 hours to the batch, and then once he's there, then he has more beers. But it's once he's there, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem. I think we have some. I still think our breath alcohol limit is, or our alcohol limit is, up too high.
Yeah.
And I think we still have a shitty attitude towards drink driving.
Yeah.
And I think, although I have no evidence to back it up, that mainly older, middle-aged type people are the worst offenders in that respect.
Yeah.
But I don't think actually having a drink in the car is inherently a problem.
No. No, it's being drunk that's a problem. It's not having a drink that's the problem. It's the same old phrase. You know, it's not drinking, it's how you drink. And one beer, whether you do it while you're driving or whether you do it immediately before you drive, I don't see that it makes any difference. If you can't stomach one beer, don't have it before, during or after, frankly. You know, just don't drink at all. That's always an option. Anyway, the Transport Minister says that he will not close the legal loophole that allows people to drive with open bottles of alcohol in their vehicles, and that's fine.
I have a police-related story too.
Oh boy, go for it.
Well, this is from the Herald today. Yep. Yes, headline is Couple Nabbed Burglary Suspect with Crazy Plan.
Oh, crazy plan.
The couple was angry that they had to catch a suspected burglar because police wouldn't respond quickly enough to the break-in at their home. You think, oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Read the story, and they arrived home to find that their home had been broken into and a laptop, hard drive, PlayStation 3 console and gaming laptop were missing.
That's a lot of...
An attempt had been made to steal the quad bike, but there was no one there. The burglary was historic at that point.
Stealing someone's quad bike, that's not cool. Quad bikes are awesome.
Yes, but they're also hard to steal if you don't know how to pop the ignition.
Yeah.
So anyway, they called 111 and reported the burglary. Police told them that they would come and do the thing that they do, you know, looking for fingerprints and stuff.
Oh, right away. I bet they were going to turn on their lights and sirens and they'd be right there.
Yeah, so she told police that she feared the offenders would return for the quad bike.
Excuse me, you missed out an important detail. The police said how long it would be.
48 hours, up to 48 hours for the SOCO, scene of crimes officers, to come and do the fingerprinting.
Awesome. They're not even sworn officers, are they?
I think it varies. I think some of them maybe. Anyway, doesn't really matter. Obviously, the police weren't going to attend if there wasn't a burglar on site.
Yeah.
But she thought that the burglar might come back to try and get the quad bike.
Yeah. Well, quad bikes are awesome. It's already been established.
Yeah, so they hid their cars, basically, and then sort of kept a lookout. And 2 hours later, a youth walked along the road and up the drive.
Oh, you can never trust a youth.
A pair of gloves.
Yeah. Oh, gloves.
St- started pushing the quad bike down the drive before he was tackled and wrestled to the ground, and they chased him down and caught him and called the police, and the police arrived 5 to 10 minutes later.
Right.
Once the offender was on the site.
Job done.
Yeah. Which...
And so then they locked him up and they found out where he lived and they went and got the stuff back and everyone was happy. Am I right?
Well, I don't think they've done that yet. No, I don't think they're getting the stuff back, and there'll probably be a stupid legal thing and he'll probably get some dumb youth court bullshit.
Diversion. He's 17 years old and... That anyway, is a significant age in the legal system.
30 minutes.
Maybe. Ignoring all that, they're complaining about the police not responding to their first call, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's insane. Everyone I know who's been burgled has found things like in a state of half removal. Yeah. Like they've, you know, tried to take the TV but decided it's too big, or they've, you know, grabbed one thing and then left it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And lots of people believe that the burglars will come back, and very rarely do they ever come back.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what they expected here, that the police should respond immediately and then hang around and stake out the property for 2 or 3 or 8 or 10 or 20 or 48 hours waiting for the burglar to come back and take the quad bike.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's completely unreasonable to be angry with the police for their response in this circumstance.
You can't expect the police to try and catch criminals. That's so unreasonable. Yeah.
Quite right.
Frankly, I put this in the broken windows thing. The police should take everything seriously, and there should be enough of them that they take these duties seriously. And
well, they do, but they can't respond to...
Well, they're not taking it very seriously if it takes 48 hours to visit the scene of the crime. That's not taking it very seriously.
I think it's an entirely measured response for what evidence they manage to get, usually, which is none.
Yeah, because it's 48 hours later, and the people have had to live in a burgled house trying to carefully not touch doorknobs. A workmate of mine got broken until
the police visited 6 hours later.
Yeah.
It's like 12 hours later, the next morning.
Yeah.
And,
is the figure going to keep changing?
They found, no, because she found at night and they came in the morning.
Right.
And they found, lo and behold, no fingerprints because the guy had worn gloves.
Right.
And that's what usually happens.
Yeah.
They find no usable fingerprints.
Yeah.
But when they do find fingerprints, they investigate them. But they found the guys who broke into our car.
Right.
So, you know, I think they do reasonable, but I guarantee you, if you call the cops when there's someone breaking into your house or still on the scene of a burglary, they will turn up really fucking quickly and there'll be a lot of them.
You don't need to guarantee that to me. I lived in Ponsonby in the 1980s.
Yep.
We had that.
Yeah. Yep. I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, they turn up pretty fast. And when some little shit stole my motorcycle from a Ponsonby address and was riding it around and I could hear it because it was a loud fucking bike, the police sort of tried to catch them, but just... I don't know where they thought they were looking, but they didn't find him. They found the bike dropped on the side of the Northwestern motorway when he ran out of petrol. Fucking numbnuts. I think I made the two female police officers in the car, which I was I went and stood up on the top of my street because I could hear the bike riding around. I hoped he was going to come past, and I had a giant fuck off crowbar stuck up my jersey, and I was gonna clothesline him off it. Probably would have killed him. So it's lucky it didn't happen, because it was like one of those huge wrecking crowbars, yeah. You know, with the big like octagonal shape. A couple of police drive up and they're like, hey, what's going on? Just sort of looking at me, and I'm like, oh, I'm listening to my bike. And they're like, oh, that's your bike, is it? And I'm thinking, I can hear it. What are you doing talking to me? Someone is riding my bike around right now. Why don't you go and catch them? But anyway, I got them back on that because they were sitting in their car on the side of the motorway waiting for me to arrive. And I turned up. Apparently, they didn't have very good situational awareness, because when I walked up and tapped on the window, they both jumped and pooed their pants. And so I reckon I got my own back there.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Turns out it's really easy to steal a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. You know, we've spoken about corporal punishment before. I'm kind of in favour of it, but with caveats, which mean that it can never really happen. And China is so strongly in favour of it that they decided to broadcast on television the live executions of four drug traffickers who had been convicted of murder. Which, you know, that's probably not a great thing. And so they aired their executions, which is, you know, it's quite incredible.
Mm. How are they executed? I'm just vaguely curious about that aspect of it. It may change how I feel about it. Not that I'm in favour of it in any way, but...
Good Question, they'd been found guilty of this, and then Manhunt and assassinated someone, blah, 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 drone attack. What? If you scan the story, it gets really crazy. The actual executions weren't shown. They were paraded. And then they were executed. And then what? Then did they show their bodies?
What I'd hope that you'd see is they'd be like paraded into a room and you just saw like an exterior shot of the door and heard like some gunshots.
Yeah.
That'd be the way to do it.
Lethal injection.
I don't know the details of the story because I can't find it. I can't remember where it is, but somewhere in the States, I want to say Utah maybe or Ohio. I don't know. One of those states in the US was seeking the death penalty for a DUI driver. And you think, well, that's not very reasonable until you find out that he was a repeat offender and killed six people in an accident.
Right. See, he's not going to stop.
No, and it's not hard to argue that once you've been caught a few times and you get drunk and get in the car again, that you're, basically premeditating to injure or kill someone.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think they ended up going for the death penalty on that, but they were going to or trying to.
These guys were convicted of murdering 13 fishermen, which is not cool. China apparently executes 4,000 people a year, though they don't usually have this kind of coverage. Yeah, it's pretty, it's all awful, but I think some people do deserve to die. And, that's, people disagree with me on that, and that's cool. I would, I'd love to know what a better punishment is. I mean, I just don't believe it's worth, I don't think you can fix some people. I think that the crimes some people have committed are so bad that it doesn't matter if you turn them into fucking artist, poet, laureates who would never hurt a fly again. I think it just doesn't matter. People need to be punished for the things that they do. There have to be consequences. And I think for some misdeeds, those consequences have to be extraordinarily serious. And I don't think it gets much more serious than ending someone's life.
That's a pretty serious consequence.
It is a pretty serious consequence. And someone, then that means that someone has to do that job. And that's, that's not cool. I would, there's a lot of problems with actually executing people. I just think that there's, find a worse punishment than that. And that is still kind of as humane as that. And, relatively speaking, just kind of offing someone in a relatively painless way is sort of humane. In a sense, we can do this alternative that you come up with instead. If we could put them on fucking Mars, then awesome. Then the only people they can murder themselves.
Last week, but you were complaining about trying to send people to Mars.
Yeah.
Now you found the reason for it.
Maybe this is a good reason to send people to Mars. But, would they? How many of them would make it to Mars? Maybe we could just say that we're sending people to Mars, but really we just have a bunch of, a stockpile of really dodgy former Soviet era rocket boosters, and we just kind of stack a bunch of prisoners, kind of just tie them on with belts all around the rocket, and we know that they're going to go off on the so-called launch pad, call it the explosion pad, kind of might give it away, and we're pretty sure these ones are going to make it all the way to Mars. Ba-boom!
Yeah, I can't see a problem with that.
No, it's perfectly reasonable. A mistake was made, but, it's not like we intended to execute them, so our hands are clean. Now, where's the next lot of suckers? it might give it away that they're all strapped around the outside of the booster. I don't know. Someone might come, might twig to it eventually. Maybe we could be world leaders in this. Maybe we could start our own Mars space program. And really, it's just about killing the world's bad guys.
Yeah. good.
So the chat room is disagreeing with me, even though you're not bothering, because we've already had this conversation several times and I think you're probably bored of it. Hamish says, there are crimes that are not punishable and that the punishment fits the crime, but that isn't a reason to execute someone. Remove them from society, but killing someone doesn't fix anything. That's true, but watch the Iron Man 3 trailer and tell me that sometimes revenge doesn't look appealing.
Revenge looks very appealing. Revenge sometimes looks appealing. Which is part of the problem with it. The only really strong objection I have to the death penalty is...
What if you're wrong?
Exactly. And I'm sure there's many, many cases where, you know, clearly it's not wrong, but there are also many cases where it could be.
Yep.
And I, you know, I'd just like to draw a pretty good line in the sand and say we just don't do it because sometimes we could be wrong.
Hamish brings up an interesting point. Society shouldn't be in the business of revenge. And this is a significant issue that I also struggle with. And that is the significance of hot blood versus cold blood. Right.
And
I think that in the moment of, you know, and while something is happening, you know, if someone was attacking one of your children and you believed they were about to be killed, is there any limit to what you would do to prevent that?
No.
I don't think there is. And I don't think anyone would blame you. Right. Now, obviously, this is a hypothetical situation. You know, I hope that you, obviously, you're never going to be faced with that. But in the moment, a whole lot more behavior is acceptable. And after the fact, and the whole justice system is, it's not even about really taking the victim's issues into account. It's about, you know, there is a punishment for a crime, and in cold blood, with careful, rational thought, that punishment needs to be decided, you know, whether they're guilty or not, and then from there on, you know, exactly what the price is going to be if they were guilty. And, you know, killing someone in the heat of the moment is maybe, you know, maybe it's more acceptable. It doesn't seem to happen very often, but maybe it's more acceptable. But so, I mean, hey, I'm not saying this is a simple issue. I start with the from the position that I think that actually some people deserve to be killed, but I'm not saying that it's actually easy. And how do you distinguish the people who have been convicted wrongly? Because so many of them, I mean, you know, various states, we've covered these stories before where, you know, states decided that so many people had now been found entirely not guilty of crimes that they'd been convicted for and were on death row. So many had been found not guilty that they would decided to have moratoriums on executions while they figured out how wide the problem was. It's very widespread.
Yeah, and even if they are guilty, there may be, you know, there may have been mistakes in the evidence that led people to believe that the crime was aggravated in ways that it wasn't, for example.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway,
that means next story.
Yeah, I agree.
Next story.
I think I'll skip this Fiji police.
Great, me now.
Because it's horrible. All right, yo, now.
Did you hear about the Apple Lightning AV cable?
I did hear about... No, I didn't hear about that. Tell me about it. Yes, I heard about that. This is incredible.
Imagine you have a new...
It's so complicated.
...iPad.
Yeah.
And you want to plug your new iPad into your TV. Then you buy a cable for, I don't know...
No, take a step back. You take one step back. Imagine that you had an iPad 2 and you had the adapter that had the HDMI out and you plug that into your TV and then you could play the stuff you downloaded from iTunes, the 720p content onto your TV. And it was beautiful and crisp. And
beautiful,
then...
Crisp.
And
HDMI output.
Then you got an iPad 3, and then Dylan's
There's no such thing started. As an iPad 3. You got a new iPad.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
And you want to do the same thing. So you buy the new version of the cable, which is the Lightning cable, because that's the new port, the Lightning port. Don't mistake it for the Thunderbolt port, although I do that all the time, which is a magical port. It has four pins, I think. It's magical, software controllable, they say. So you'd get that thing and you'd plug that HDMI cable into your TV and it would be suddenly weirdly not as crisp and have compression errors. And
that doesn't make any sense. This is the newer version. It should be better, not worse.
And that's because, being that the Lightning port has only four connectors, it's simply not possible to put HDMI out it.
But so how can they do it then? That seems like they must have broken new ground with their engineering genius.
There's magical hardware
in the
iPad for something they call AirPlay. It's got some chips in it that do H.264 encoding in real time of the content of the screen.
Yeah. So
then
they
push that H.264 out the four magical pins on the Lightning port, and a little computer, teeny, teeny little computer, little CPU and some chips inside the cable, decode that, turn it into HDMI, scale it, because it comes out as 1600 by 900, which isn't the resolution you can put down HDMI. They scale it, and then they stick it out to the TV at 1080p.
Which is insane. They have a little system on a chip in the plug. They've got a little computer that does this processing, this receiving the data stream and scaling it up and outputting it. That is insane.
For some things, it makes fantastic sense. Because by offloading that that processing to a little receiver, essentially, in the plug side of the cable... you don't have to define any pins as anything anymore. It's just a generic serial interface, and you can, in software, put whatever the hell you want out it, and have the cable decode what you've put out and turn it into whatever you want.
Yeah.
In this case, an HDMI video signal. Unfortunately, there are some quality issues. And it's not going away. I mean, in theory, they can, because it is essentially a software thing, and there's a firmware on the cable. It is possible in future versions that they can, better the performance and firmware flash the cable.
Mm.
That's right. You update the firmware on your cable.
Madness.
But 45 it's unlikely it'll get that much better, I'd say. Yeah. It's still going to have the same problems. It's still going to be an H.264, a highly compressed H.264 stream.
And it's the scaling which is really fucking it up, isn't it?
I imagine that would be aggravating the compression problems.
That would soften everything, surely.
Well, it'd soften everything and also accentuate things like hard edges, especially when it's an unusual scale. So, going from 1600 across to 1920 across is not even maths.
Boolean value in the chat room says, so has Monster been telling us the truth about high-tech cables all along? Dylan, is it about being oxygen-free, directional gold?
I don't think Monster's been telling us the truth about anything.
No, never. So there's actually another story about video, and I guess it's probably important that it's high-quality video for it to work. This is this thing that they call invisible motion, and it sounds kind of insane, but it's not really what it means. What they do is they analyze a sample of video, and they detect very small changes, but excluding noise. And so they can do things, and then they can amplify the changes. And so it's not actually just movement, but it's any kind of change. And one of the most dramatic things they've got is video of a sleeping baby, and they can detect its heartbeat from the fluctuations of blood in its skin, and amplify it so that it kind of flashes red when its heart beats. And it's absolutely amazing. And there's another one they've got where they actually amplify actual motion. And I didn't understand this bit. I couldn't really quite tell how it was working. But they detect the tiny movements in a baby's arms. And when they amplified that, suddenly its arms were like flailing around. So you could see that it was breathing clearly and moving. And they could also do it on the eye, what's it called, saccades or something? The eye movement with your, the little...
The REM sleep.
No, when you're awake. They're like saccades, or it's called something like that, where your eye moves to kind of artificially increase its resolution with this flickering movement. And when they apply this invisible motion amplification thing to it, you can clearly see the eye moving and kind of the inside bits like jelly wobbling. It's absolutely an amazing process.
There's all sorts of fascinating things you can do by, looking beyond single frames of video and getting much more information. But the problem is that it's, like, I don't know about those baby sleeping ones, but yeah. I would imagine that have to be done in essentially laboratory conditions
No. They've answered this. Well, firstly, they've released this open source. It's called Eulerian Video Magnification. It's from MIT, and you can get their code, and you can try it out yourself. But they also applied it to a bit of Christian Bale in Batman, and they could see his heartbeat.
Because what I was going to say is often a problem is... synchronization issues to do with lighting and the camera.
Yeah.
So it's sort of imperceptible, but there's very minute changes in because the way the cycle of the AC power syncs with the cycle of the video frame. So if you take a PAL video camera to the States and shoot some stuff, you'll notice if you shoot under the lights at night, the whole video shifts colors and brightness changes all over the place.
Mm.
Which is very obvious, but the same thing happens even when you're, in the same power region as your camera's designed for. You still get very small changes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would have thought, well, maybe it would have to be probably work better under certain types of lighting than others. LED better than fluorescent, for example.
I mean that may be true. But they were able to test whether they were detecting the correct heart rate from the blood fluctuation in these babies by simultaneously recording an actual heart monitor. So I suppose it could be a coincidence, but it's not like the baby's heart was beating at 60 hertz.
The changes it's detecting can be confused by light changes as well, I would have thought. But don't know. I'll find out more.
I mean,
you'll
maybe
post a link and I'll follow it and see what happens.
Yeah, that's right. And you can get the code and you can run it and see how it works on your own stuff, I'm sure. Man accused of... No, I don't want to do an abduction story. Man admits killing friend with heroin.
Oh, this is a fucking sad story.
A New Zealander who injected a friend with heroin at a drug-fueled Sydney stag night has pleaded guilty.
Now, if you stop the story there,
yeah,
you think, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You imagine, you know, some stag guy tied to a chair and he's just been danced on by a stripper and now one of his mates is like, here you go, buddy, and slam an 8-ball into his arm.
Yeah.
That's not quite what happened.
It's not what happened. He was going to be the best man at his mate's wedding, and they actually injected each other with heroin, but they'd never used it before. And so they just weren't prepared for the dosage.
And the dead guy
yeah,
was also the initiator. It was all his idea. Well, it was his idea, and he was the one who was driving it. They were both too drunk to inject themselves, so they decided to inject each other.
Yeah.
He immediately fell asleep and started snoring heavily, and then the next morning he was basically dead. It's a tragic story, and I don't think this is one of those occasions where I don't think jailing someone benefits anyone.
No, it was an accident.
It was an accident, and stupid accident. You know, none of the victim's family want the guy jailed for it. And yeah, it's just terrible. It's like those cases we know where someone like the guy who
is it even
who,
fair to call who, him an, is it even fair to call him a victim?
Well, he was a victim of his own, you know.
Just
of,
because
of,
he's dead he doesn't a, mean he's an actual victim.
He was, a, he was a victim of an overdose.
Yeah, he's was, let's call him the decedent.
The decedent. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's like those situations where, you know, a parent does something slightly negligent and kills their child. You know, like a driving accidents are the ones that are most common.
Yeah.
And you think, is anyone served here by being prosecuted?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it, does it?
It just, there's a case at the moment, I believe, was it in Wellington, where guy crashed, his pregnant wife was severely injured, and the baby was delivered by cesarean but died, and he's now facing charges of careless driving causing death and careless driving causing injury.
Yeah.
And his wife is insistent that they had a green light, but the police have decided that they had a red light and ran a red light.
Yeah.
It's terrible, you know. And who benefits by having him prosecuted? I don't know. So same sort of thing in this case. It's a terrible accident, and why can't the coroner just say that we shouldn't inject each other with heroin and be done with it?
Yeah. Stick with the weed. A bit of weed, a bit of ecstasy, everything would have been fine. And they had that as well, and they should have just stuck with that instead of getting $100 worth of heroin and then, you know, going for that as well. Absolute madness. Absolute madness.
Yeah.
In fact, the story says that they injected one another instead of themselves because they were too intoxicated to do it to themselves.
Yeah.
Absolute madness. Another story that's madness. Out where I go mountain biking, sometimes out at Woodhill, there's a one of those confidence courses, a ropes course up in the trees. And some of them are quite high, and I've sort of considered doing it. You know, people go out there on corporate team building days and so on. This is a story. It was actually quite big. I don't know, yesterday or the day before. This chap fell off one of the highest bits, 14 metres, in front of his wife and child and died.
And many, many other children who were there at the time as well.
Sounds like it was a really busy day.
It's horrible. Yeah, the course people, the people who run the course say that it wasn't unusually busy.
Yeah.
But, sounds horrible. And sounds like, you know, just, again, a stupid, tragic mistake. That he had safety gear, he just either didn't use it properly or something went wrong with it. Probably he didn't use it properly, hadn't been instructed well enough, or made a mistake clipping on or something.
Yeah. I think it was probably, yeah, he just didn't clip in.
Yeah.
He was too confident, if anything. The earlier parts of the course
in,
were too good.
Or clipped into the wrong thing, or thought he'd clipped in and hadn't.
Yeah.
There are many ways you can fail if you're not being very careful.
I've done a bunch of these ropes courses. I find them a little bit scary, but I've never done anything that was that high. 14 metres seems pretty far up.
Very high. What's that like? It's about 5 stories.
It's pretty far. I mean, the ones that I've done, which probably were only, you know,
5 stories,
5 or 8 meters or something, they seemed plenty high. Yeah. The only hard bit I found with rope swings was there was this particular rope swings, rope courses. I've just given away the end of the story. The hard part was the swing at the end where you had to jump onto a rope swing and leap off a platform and drop.
And drop swings, away. I hate those.
And, you know, it's fine when you did it, you know, and after you'd done it once, it was sweet, but the lead up to it was sketchy. That there was, back then, there were no real harnesses. There was just sort of a string that you put around your shoulders. You know, not like today where I'm sure they'd have, you know, carabiners and some sort of harness and so on. But all the rest of it's pretty straightforward. You know, if you've got a three-wire thing, you just put your hands out. If you step between platforms between two trees, I mean, the distance was always pretty known. You know, all the rest of it's not scary, but that last bit, Jesus. But if it was 14 metres up, I don't know, I might feel differently about it. I'm not a big fan of heights, must be said. Previously unknown asteroid flies by Earth. This sounds like a pretty familiar story, but this isn't the same one as last week.
Oh, man.
This one was about the same distance as the moon. I think the moon's about 400,000 kilometres or something, isn't it?
It's a fair way away.
This one's about 395,000 kilometres out. It was found 1 week before it passed by. That's not cool. And have I got another story? I've got a story about one that was close to Mars. Damn it, where is it?
Mars. We don't care about that. It's just a planet full of prisoners.
That's true. But this one is that I don't know if they haven't been able to accurately size it or if they've given this broad size range because it's, you know, kind of a weird shape. It's between 5 and 30 miles wide.
It's probably just hard to judge the size of something so small at such a distance.
That's right. But you know, so 5 mile wide meteorite does how much damage?
I don't know, lots. If it hits things, I imagine it's probably quite big and moving quite fast.
Exactly.
There's some sort of mass involved.
That is a lot of mass. That is a big damn thing. So this is going to pass really close to Mars. The best estimate is that it's going to be about 25,000 miles from the centre of Mars. So that's pretty close.
What's the radius of Mars?
Small enough that is not within the radius of Mars. It's moving about 35 miles per second.
Mars is only 3,389 kilometres in radius.
Right. So if it misses, then, you know, it's going to be a near miss. But if it doesn't miss, it'll be amazing. That'll be something to go and look at. Those robots will be rooted. The estimate from
if it doesn't miss, I hope we get a good shot of it before it destroys the robots.
Yeah, seriously. When's it going to hit? When's it going to fly by? They must have said. When do they say? It's got to be going there. When is it going to happen? Oh, it's going to be sometime. Well, it was spotted earlier this year. I don't know that this says actually when it's going to fly by.
Just eventually. Eventually it'll just swish past.
Oh, it's going to fly by swish. October 19, 2014. So, I mean, it might be time to get something over there, but I don't
shall
know.
Shall I add it to my Google Calendar already?
Yep, I reckon you should. So the estimate is going to be that it will create a crater about 1.25 miles deep and 50 to 300 miles wide.
Depending on whether it's 5 or 30 miles wide to start with.
Exactly. So that's a big crater. Man, that'd be exciting on Earth. That would be possibly even, I don't know if that'd be better or worse than,
I'm not sure
than a zombie
exciting
uprising.
Is the word you're looking for?
A lot of people would die, but I think that's necessary. Because, I mean, those of us who were lucky enough to survive, and frankly, being so close to an ocean would probably mean that we wouldn't be amongst the survivors. But those of us who are lucky enough to survive would get heaps of oil, you know, because there'd be plenty still to go around. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, what would we lose? Like 5.5 billion, 6 billion people or something? The rest of us could just about get by on being hunter-gatherers.
The remaining 100,000 or so of us.
Yeah.
1 minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no reason to expect that I would be one of those survivors, but, you know, you can live in hope. Might be a better world than we live in now. Just like a zombie uprising, man, I reckon a zombie uprising would be really exciting. I'd have a lot of fun trying to gather my friends up and defend them.
come by this way, would you?
And also kill zombies. Fucking hell. Kill so many zombies. So on the way to Mars, it's been proposed that... Oh, God damn it, where's my story? Even with my cool new system, I can't...
You've only got like 30 seconds. What are you doing?
Well, there's a plan to use poop and wee as radiation shielding on a trip to Mars on the ship.
So you just do a big poo and you slap it up against the side of the ship.
Yep, like Adobe, pretty much.
Oh, that works.
Yep. Pirate Bay reckons it's hosting in North Korea.
Yeah, apparently that's not true.
Oh, I wanted to do the story about my what's happening your auntie been talking about. We'll do that after the thing. Love you, see you, goodbye.
Yeah.
You're listening to
but not really see.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, we're just going to keep going.
We'll just talk over this bit.
So, my what's your auntie been talking about? What's your auntie been sending
What's your auntie
you
been talking about?
On VHS. This week is a show I'd never heard of before called Duck Dynasty. Have you heard of Duck Dynasty?
I haven't.
Duck Dynasty, if you prefer. This is a bunch of rednecks in, I can't remember where, Louisiana or somewhere. And they own a duck call making company, which has made them millions of dollars. And they're millionaires, but they like mainly just to hunt. And they have great big beards. And they always wear duck hunting camouflage. It's one of these shows like West Coast Choppers and Sons of Guns. You know, it's the same format. So you basically, you follow them.
Well, here, look, I'll tell you what Netflix says when I search for Duck Dynasty.
Yep.
After searching for Duck Dynasty, many members stream Swamp Loggers, Gold Rush. Oh, and that's the main one, Swamp Loggers and Gold Rush. So I see where you're going with this.
Yep. So they're a bunch of rednecks, but it's quite fun because they don't just go duck hunting, although they go duck hunting quite a bit. They also go turkey hunting, but they also go squirrel hunting and then skin and gut the squirrels and eat them. And they go frog hunting and skin and gut and dismember the frogs and fry them and eat them. And it's so good. And they like go fishing and they catch catfish and, you know, they fish in these, you know, yeah.
Speaking of rednecks on TV, have you seen Lizard Lick?
No.
Lizard Lick Towing?
Nope.
Oh my God, you've got to search for it. It's like Operation Repo. Have you seen Operation Repo?
No.
Have you seen South Beach Tow? Okay, there are at least three or four of these shows.
Why would I have? Basically, is this stuff you watch on Netflix?
It's basically... No, you don't even on Netflix, I don't think. It's basically towing companies and repo companies, you know, quote, observational documentaries about them. Mm. And they're fucking awesome and insane. Lizard Lick is the best because the guys, at least of the bits I've seen, because the guys are just these crazy redneck. You know, they're just the perfect talent for TV.
Yeah.
There's shitloads of it on YouTube. I'm sure you can get it from other places. It's not on Netflix. Oh. So I don't know why I bother with this Netflix thing.
Now, with those shows, so the thing about Duck Dynasty, and it was true in Sons of Guns, and I'm sure I didn't really watch West Coast Choppers because I found the people so uncharismatic.
It was pretty terrible.
There are things that the producers have obviously asked them to do. There are fake challenges that spring up in front of them. They put artificial deadlines on, which clearly are just about the show, and they would never really do that. Yeah. There's also bits that just seem a little bit too set dressed. Like they have family dinners, and it's just too carefully lit. It's like, is that actually in a house, or have they got a set that looks
sort of
like a house?
So there's some strange things. I mean, reality
TV. This is worse. I mean, now maybe you've watched. I'm sure, actually, based on what you've just said with these other shows you've watched, that you've watched more reality TV than I have. I've watched a little bit, but I've never seen anything that looks so much like a set as this.
I've watched a bit. I don't think I've seen much of American Chopper that looks like that. But,
yeah.
I mean, my experience of reality TV is that in some ways it's often more real than you think it is.
Yeah.
You see things that you think, oh, that's scripted. You know, like the GC, a lot of people say the GC was scripted.
Yeah.
And I don't know for sure, but I would bet money on the fact that it wasn't. But the producers and the casting people who set these shows up are really fucking good at what they do. And what they do is they find the right talent and they figure out how to work the talent.
Yeah.
And it's not about giving them scripts. It's just about... you know, giving them the right, putting them in the right situations to get what you want, and also It's a huge part of it is to do with interviews.
Yeah.
So what you never, you know, you see all those, whenever you're watching those shows and you hear someone saying, like, The Amazing Race is a fantastic example. You hear someone saying, oh, I never thought we'd get to the airport in time or, you know, stuff like that. There's always the post, what you're hearing is, and occasionally seeing, is someone sitting down in, in an interview room with an associate producer who is asking them questions, and the interview could go for, you know, half an hour, an hour for any given thing. And they're asking them questions and, you know, encouraging them, or they've trained them to answer in certain ways, and that is the narration for the story, and that's how you piece the stories together.
Yeah.
And fuck, they're good at it. That's, you know, so it's real. What you're seeing, typically, what you're seeing in reality TV is real in the sense that it hasn't been scripted, and it, you know, it actually happens, and for the most part, the interactions between, you know, the characters in the show are real and genuine, but only in as much as, you know, they're not scripted. They are put in those situations, and they are cast, and, you know, and they have the chemistry with one another that makes these things happen.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. I actually, you know, the more I've witnessed of that from behind the scenes, the more impressed I am by watching reality TV in some ways.
Yeah, well, this is a great example of it, because several of the people are quite charismatic. There's a crazy old Vietnam veteran who is the uncle of the main two. There's Jace, who's the kind of the lazy layabout so-called chief operations officer who really just likes to go hunting. And he does that. He is the best at that job that you just mentioned, the piece to camera, you know, the sort of the diary cam, the interview bit where you don't ever hear the questions. He does a really great job of doing that. And there are other people who are not quite as good, but, you know, they're good enough. Yeah. But if you watch it and you have a look at particularly the dining table scenes, you'll see what I mean when I say that looks set-dressed. You know, it looks like it's on a set, not in a house.
Well, it may be in a house, or it's probably in a house, but it's probably, you know, the production company goes in there and they make that house look exactly like how they want that house to look.
Exactly. You know? And so there are aspects of it that look too carefully cultivated. And it doesn't really ring true. But then there's a bunch of other stuff. It doesn't really matter, because they get up to such fun sort of hijinks that, you know, I look past that sort of saccharine, cheesy stuff, and, you know, it's easy enough to get past, actually, as it turns out, because they're eating frogs after going and hunting frogs at a golf course and then getting busted by security, which is cool. It's such a great story.
Did you ever see, there was a show in New Zealand called, what was it called, Living the Dream?
That sounds familiar, but I'm not sure that I did.
So what it was is it was a reality competition show, a whole bunch of people living in a house and doing challenges each week and being voted out.
Yeah.
But the key to the show was that only one person in the show was actually, you know, a real person.
Oh, that's right. Everyone and the else others were all was actors yeah.
who were hired to play stereotypes, basically archetypes from within the show. And they did that. I really enjoyed it. I worked on it a bit, but I really enjoyed watching it because it was a fantastic. It was a really accurate sort of portrayal of how the shows go down.
Yeah.
You know, the people were playing exactly the characters they would if they'd been cast from the streets, and it was very funny.
It's putting a lot of trust into the actors, though, isn't it?
Finding Joe Schmo.
It's a lot of trust to place in the actors, because anyone saying one thing wrong and giving the game away, the whole production's ruined. I mean, and then,
yeah,
then you have to cut that bit out and get the schmo to act as if they didn't know, right?
Well, the interesting thing about it was, you know, the other thing that happens in it and that you see in the show is that the actors, some of them start to feel bad for what they're doing, or start to have weird connections they didn't expect with, you know, with the schmo.
Yeah.
It's an interesting experiment. I quite enjoyed watching that. But it's you know, watching it is also kind of like it's an interesting behind the scenes in reality TV in some ways.
Yeah. For an interesting behind the scenes of a different kind of reality TV, well, I would like to introduce the writer, producer, editor, director, and also cinematographer for a show called, I don't know what we call it, Navy Bathroom ladies. I don't know. That's probably just the working title. And his name is David Simpson. He's only 28 years old. He's an electronics technician, and he's a bit of a self-starter. So he's pled guilty to 12 charges of making an intimate visual recording and 12 charges of possessing an intimate visual recording and one military charge of acting in an indecent or disgraceful manner. So he was watching female, I don't know, what do you call them? What do you call them in the Navy? Let's say colleagues.
Well, yeah, it depends on what they are.
He was watching them on the toilet and in the shower. And then he started to record them with his iPhone. And his excuse for that
is... Oh, he had an excuse.
He had an excuse, and it's kind of funny. He said that he only made the recording... He wanted to look through the hole, but he only made the recordings because of the size and angle of the hole and because he had lost his spectacles a few days before, so he couldn't actually see.
That's
such a hilarious bullshit excuse, though.
Well, no, it might be true, but it's...
Well... Like,
it doesn't really excuse...
No, it doesn't.
He did it. There's so much to know about this. I suppose they can't get internet porn while they're at sea.
Maybe while they're at sea, that could be true. But this is the New Zealand Navy. They don't go to sea.
Well, they do sometimes. They sail around, you know.
All right, I've got to bring up a story. Oh, okay. Well, maybe around North Head. That's hardly to sea, though, is it? There was a story about how few days at sea the New Zealand Navy is actually managing to achieve. I haven't got it in my list, though.
Look,
and I'm not.
Have
sure
you tried? Have you tried taking one of those ANZAC class? What are they, frigates? I don't know. ANZAC class boats to BP lately and filling it up with diesel.
Well, that's part of the problem, but another part of the problem.
Cheap.
That's only half of it. They also don't have enough crew. So we've got a bunch of Australians come over and help, you know, fill a few seats, but we still don't have enough people to crew our Navy vessels. I mean, the whole thing's a bit of a joke.
Because of the uniforms.
Do you think that's it?
Yes, absolutely. Have you had to wear that weird white thing with the square neck and the stupid helicopter landing pad hat?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be in the Navy either. Now, if they gave you, like, you know, some cool camo and stuff, then you'd be all good.
Yeah.
And they do sometimes, but, you know, their standard uniform is a white thing with a square neck. It's ridiculous.
I'm really desperately trying to find this story because it had very interesting figures. So
the Air Force have a terrible uniform as well. Well, it's not bad uniform, it's just the pants are really itchy.
The target days at sea versus the reality of how many days at sea they have. And it's like the target is like, you know, 250 for this ship and 180 for that kind of ship. And they're getting like 40 days at sea, that kind of thing. Absolutely appalling. The little Navy that couldn't, this could be it. If John Key is genuinely worried about the likelihood of boat people washing ashore here, perhaps he could look at the Navy's hamstrung capacity to patrol our seas instead of expecting it to trim millions from its budget each year. So this sounds like it's the story, doesn't it? So 168 naval staff were made redundant during their civilianization project. And their annual turnover is 23%. That's pretty high. One in four every year.
That can't be right. That's insane. Anyway.
Only two of the four inshore patrol vessels have been in service at any one time. Two of four. Half of them at any one time. And they've spent, even those ones have spent fewer than their target days at sea because of staffing issues. So anyway. So he's got plenty of internet because he probably mainly spends his time at home or in Devonport.
Well, they shouldn't have kicked him out then, should they? Silly.
Well, I mean, maybe the lack of recruits is why some creep like this was in. I mean, I expect they probably do some kind of psychological testing and so on before they let people on boats with guns.
No.
You don't think they do?
Nah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you can go either way. Either he's a creep or he's just a dumbass. I'm quite willing to believe he's just a dumbass, to be honest.
You don't think he's a creep for recording his crewmates on the toilet?
I think it's a creepy thing to do, but I don't think
he's obviously a creep.
Well, yeah, I guess he's creeped by behavior. I think he's probably just stupid. Like, it's, I don't know. Did he make the hole in the shower block? Or did he just
I'm not sure if the story actually says, but I'm not sure that's important. Is that really important?
No, but you know, if there are people who take advantage,
you might be revealing things about yourself by making excuses for this creep.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that there are people who take advantage, who have very poor judgment and take advantage of situations that occur to them.
Creeps.
They're idiots. They're stupid. I think creep has a lot of connotations to it. I'm not sure that what I'm saying is, I don't think a psychological profile would have picked up that he's an idiot.
Maybe not. But being an idiot should exclude him from service as well.
Oh, no, we can't exclude people who are idiots from stuff.
Should we do the close encounter of the turd kind?
No.
Should we do big dog robot grabs, lifts and throws cinder blocks with its new arm?
No.
Should we do researchers describe first functional HIV cure in an infant?
Maybe.
I think the story's bullshit.
Yeah.
So a baby supposedly born with the AIDS virus, they say, which is a pretty weird way of describing it, 2 years ago in Mississippi, who was put on antiretroviral therapy within hours of birth, appears to have been cured of the infection, they say. But the thing is that when babies are being born to infected parents, they generally put the parents on drugs in advance of the birth to prevent the child from being infected in the first place. So these people are a bunch of idiots. Anyway, so they gave it a decent dose, and then the mother disappeared for like a year or something, and then finally reappeared again. And they tested the baby, and it didn't have HIV. But when people, like when doctors get a jab or whatever, they can go on antivirals as a prophylactic measure, which will prevent them from developing HIV. And some people say that's probably what happened in this case, that this kid never had HIV, and that this acted like the prophylaxis that doctors, you know, fairly routinely take when they get jabs. So,
according to the doctor in our chat room, he says they confirmed the baby was seropositive.
That's what some of the stories say, but
it's reasonable proof of concept. But even so,
yeah,
it was traditional HIV treatment, right?
It was a three drug cocktail.
Yeah, but not like some new experimental drug. So in saying because they got in early enough?
Yeah, it's not like they apply this therapy to all the people with HIV,
like,
in the world.
Here you go, take these drugs you're already taking. They'll cure you. Oh, they haven't.
They'll cure you if you're a baby. Wait, are you a baby?
But, I don't know, maybe we're getting closer. I like, there's a picture I saw on the Facebook today which said, Pope quits 6 days later, AIDS, first patient cured of AIDS.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ha-ha. Right, I'm done. I'm over it.
Representative Ed Orcutt, Republican from Washington, okay, wants to tax State? Bicycle uses. wants to tax bicycle use because when you ride a bicycle, you have an increased heart rate and respiration, and so you give off more CO2.
Okay.
So he thinks that bicycle users should be taxed. Scottish Cardinal.
I'm just guessing. I don't know anything about that story. Haven't read it or heard it before, but I'm assuming he's proposing that as some sort of ha-ha logic fight back against people who are proposing actual useful and meaningful CO2 taxes.
Yep. Yep, those people are stupid idiots. And, I mean, now here's the thing. You know, cars are fine. I sometimes enjoy driving. I don't really enjoy long-distance driving. But, you know, cars are pretty useful for what they're good for. Some people really love cars. And for some reason, they hate bicycles.
I hate bicycles.
And they hate buses and so on. But what those people who love cars forget is that everyone on a bus or everyone on a bicycle, especially on a fucking bicycle path, is a person that's not in a car. You can get a lot of cars off the road by putting a lot of people into buses. So those people who love cars, their experience will be better, assuming that you have bus lanes and bicycle lanes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Those
car-loving people who hate bicycles and buses, those people are morons.
Yeah.
I think if you love cars, you should love bicycle lanes in particular because they're very narrow.
Oh, yeah, no, I like people riding bicycles not on the road.
And you'll have more parking spaces when you get to where you're going.
Fixies, full stop.
Yeah. Is that right?
I saw a YouTube video yesterday, maybe, or an 11-minute-long YouTube video of someone wearing a GoPro camera, so first-person perspective of someone creating a tin-type plate, putting the chemicals on it to make it into a light-sensitive plate, then shooting a photo with it, and then developing it and fixing it and stuff to make a tin-type print.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that that is the single most hipster form of photography I've ever seen.
Yeah. Was it nice, though, the photo?
Yeah, it was alright. Yeah, take it with an old, bellows camera, as you would for a tin-type photography. You know exactly, you're going to stick that in the back of your DSLR.
It's way more hipster than pinhole.
Way more hipster.
I never did photographic development.
Much more hipster than Instagram.
I never did that stuff. At school, of course, there was a little dark room and, If you were doing some of the art programs, you did that. But I always did design rather than art.
I did sixth form photography.
And so we didn't get to, so why are you not very good at it? Or are you good at it? Maybe
I can be good at it. It depends. I haven't had a decent camera for a long time.
Yeah. I was very harsh on you. You were excited about having a high-speed camera, and I was like, that's going to be bullshit. You're going to do a shit job. And then you actually did a really cool job. That video of your kids jumping in puddles, it was really nice.
Thanks.
I was very harsh on you.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't really necessary.
I've come to expect it.
Wasn't necessary. Yeah. I'm not apologizing.
No, I understand. You're just accepting that you were wrong. You don't have to apologize. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made. Life hacker. How about that? Have I got
comfortable.
Best of life hacker.
This isn't really one of those silly ones like make a candle out of toilet paper and butter.
Fuck. I'd forgotten about that.
which is a pretty good one.
Which, by the way, would be a fucking expensive candle. And...
Yeah, because candles are really cheap. You get quite a good box of candles.
Now, if you could find a life hacker for making butter out of candles, then we'd be onto something.
Delicious.
Delicious paraffin butter.
Delicious. So this one is actually, it's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what you need to hit your semi-retirement. I think that many of us are not going to get the sort of retirement that our parents are going to get because, let's be honest about the baby boomers, they got everything and fucked the planet. And we are going to have to try and mop up the damage. I don't know how we're going to do that.
Yeah, I'm just going to win lotto.
Well, as strategies go, it's a pretty bad one.
I know, but I haven't got a better one at the moment, so it's my current strategy.
I hope it works.
Become the chief executive of the Ministry of Education.
It would be really cool if it worked, and if you do win lotto and buy like a cool holiday home, I would like to come and stay there.
No, but of course.
I hope that your strategy works really well, and I mean, if I bought lotto tickets, it would possibly be my strategy as well.
I don't buy lotto tickets. That's actually part of the problem.
Seems like an excellent shortcut.
More problematic than it would be otherwise.
It's probably just about as likely that you'll win.
Yeah, it's only very slightly less likely. Just a teeny, teeny bit less likely.
It'd be really cool if you won. It would be cooler if I won.
Yeah, of course. But of course, yeah, totally. Actually, it's probably even, I don't know, not that statistics work this way, but my wife's cousin's husband's mother won Winning Wheel, so... You know, now that someone I vaguely have met and vaguely know, and it is in some way part of my family, has had a lot of winners, surely that means that I'm not going to.
Yeah. I don't even know anyone who's had a decent minor prize.
My parents won $600.
Oh, no, I mean more than that.
Yeah, no, that's the biggest one I know of, personally.
And given that...
Oh, that's not true. A friend of my parents in the early 80s, maybe a few years after the lotto had started, won first division, I think.
Right, when it was about $1 million?
It was under a million, I think, even. Because, right. you know, it's been a guaranteed million for the first division for, you know, last 10 or 15 years.
And that was when $1 million was
Early on, $1 million was a big prize. It would jackpot to a million. When, you know, when lots of people bought tickets, it would go up to a million.
Wowee. That was when a house was $70,000, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, you win $1 million and a house is $1.2 million, and it's like, fuck!
Yeah, you have to buy Powerball.
This makes fuck all difference. What just happened?
Yeah, imagine winning First Division Lotto, and then you're like, oh, wow, I won Lotto, and then you like someone else wins it as well, and they got Powerball, so they win, like, $20 million, and you get, like,
$520,000. Like, a few weeks ago, someone...
The guy who played Powerball, every Powerball number.
Exactly.
Yeah, so one... 10 out of 11 shares of the First Division and the Powerball.
So people won First Division and got like $90,000. Oh, you'd feel so ripped off.
I know, it would be the worst. It's not that bad, but it'd be the worst thing. It's like when you get on the winning wheel, you see people on the winning wheel and you're like, get a million, and they want a car. And you're like, oh, you fucking car.
You poor bastard,
you want a car.
Yeah, you got a free car, which is pretty great. It's like there's something about the way that the win
someone
is
told
couched.
Me you can someone told me those cars and travel prizes are actually they do have like a monetary value. You can just take
everyone just takes cash. They had an article about Big Wednesday. Almost no one ever takes the cars and boats and houses and so on. They all just cash out.
I'd take the cars and fuck the rest of it.
Fuck no. Fuck and no. Actually,
boat and
who wants those cars?
Oh, an Audi Q. What is it? An Audi Q. I don't even know what they're giving.
Fuck those cars.
It's never a Lamborghini.
Those are flash idiot cars. They're not.
I'm a flash idiot.
But you're not.
Well, I would be if I had lots of money.
But you're not a flash idiot.
No, now I'm just an idiot.
No, but you're not an idiot, and you're not flash. Those are the sort of cars that flash idiots would drive. You know, people who are stupid but have too much money. But so you'd be better off, I think, getting a car that you just, you know. I mean, okay, so if those are the sort of cars that you dream of having, then cool. Awesome. But I think you're better off taking the cash and just buying really nice cars.
Yeah.
Surely. You know, $200,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
For a car, it seems like too much, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's a lot.
Anyway.
Fish and chips.
Sorry, the show is cancelled. Beep.